You are listening to WRIR 97.3 FM. That's WRIR LP 97.3 FM Richmond. It's time for the Motherland Influence. Fire!
To the Motherland Influence, coming to you every Sunday, 5 to 7 p.m. here on WRIR LP 97.3 FM. I'm going to have some interviews today. Hopefully this will go as planned. And Jolie Moon is in here in the studio. And she's from Africana Film Festival.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to play a tune before we interview her. But she's helping to bring the documentary Finding Fela to Richmond. It'll be on the 23rd at the Bird Theater. So she's going to talk about that, and hopefully we'll have an interview with Stephen Hayden?
Stephen Hindle.
Stephen Hindle.
Close enough.
Stephen Hindle. And I left my note somewhere.
He's the executive producer of the movie and the Broadway play.
All right. So hopefully we'll have we're not quite sure this thing's working, but hopefully we'll have an interview with him also. So let's hear some Fela, and for those of you not familiar with him, we'll tell you more about him as we go along. Here's a shortened version of his tune, Zombie.
Zombie no go go unless you tell him to go. Zombie no go stop unless you tell him to stop.
Stop, stop, stop.
Zombie no go turn unless you tell him to turn. Zombie no go think unless you tell him to think.
Think, think.
Zombie, oh zombie.
Zombie, oh zombie.
Zombie, oh zombie. Yeah.
Zombie, oh zombie.
Tell him to go straight. Jor, jar, jor. No brain, no job, no sense. Jor, jar, jor. Tell him to go kill. Jor, jar, jor. No brain, no job, no sense. Jor, jar, jor. Go and kill.
Jor, jar, jor.
Go and die.
Jor, jar, jor.
Go and quench.
Jor, jar, jor.
Go and quench, go and kill, go and burn, put on four of us, go and burn, go and quench, go and kill, put on four of us, go and kill, go and die, go and burn. Oh, da! Attention, quick match, slow match, left hand, right hand, about hand, double up, salute, open your hat, stand at ease, fall
zombie.
In, fall out, fall
zombie.
Down, get ready, quick
zombie.
March, slow march, left
zombie.
Hand, right hand, about
zombie.
Hand, double up, salute,
zombie.
Open your hat, stand at ease,
zombie.
Fall in, fall
zombie.
Out, fall down, get ready, halt! Some boys stand like this all day on the street corner until the army recruiter sees them and says, "Oda!" Attention,
zombie.
Quick march, slow march,
zombie.
Left hand, right hand,
zombie.
About hand, double up,
zombie.
Salute, open your hands,
zombie.
Stand at ease, fall
zombie.
In, fall out, fall
zombie.
Down, get ready, quick march,
zombie.
Slow march, left hand,
zombie.
Right hand, about
zombie.
Hand, double up, salute,
zombie.
Open your hands, stand at ease,
zombie.
Fall in, fall out,
zombie.
Fall down, get ready, halt!
zombie when I want way, a jordan jada jodo. Zombie when I want way, a jordan jada jodo. Ha!
Background's an actual Fela tune. A tune called Teach You Don't Teach Me Nonsense. Type of music he was known for, not in the very beginning, but as he continued in his musical progression. Music trying to explain what's going on in Nigeria, protesting what's going on, what was going on in Nigeria at the time, and for that matter, around the world. Even here in the U.S. And in many cases suffered for that. He ruffled many feathers in Nigeria doing that. The tune you heard before that was the cover, well, not kind of a cover version. It was a version as done from the original motion picture soundtrack Finding Fela. It's done by the Fela Band off the Broadway production. The tune Zombie. That was his take on the Nigerian army. I have Njoli Moon here with Africana Film Festival. Is that the correct title?
It is Africana Independent Film Festival. My name is Njoli Moon.
Njoli.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for bringing this documentary to us. You can tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So this is a documentary that actually started as a behind-the-scenes tour of the Broadway play, Fela. Mm-hmm. And over time, they just kind of realized that Fela was such an important historical figure that they wanted to make this also about his life and his contribution to Nigeria and the world. And so this film kind of just shows you what kind of led him up to becoming the musician he became, but also what it took to get the Broadway play on Broadway.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And how did you get this? Well, tell us about your organization. Is that okay. You or is there many other people with it? Or?
Right now, it's me. Mm-hmm. I do have a team of people that really helped to make all of the events go well. Mm-hmm. And so without them, I couldn't do it, but right now it's just a one woman operation, I guess you could say. It's in terms of this organization, it's brand new. We started this year, and we did our first event in September of this year. And I wanted to bring a film festival to the city And it came kind of organically just from me liking black indie film, global black indie film, and making plans to go to these film festivals and things. And I just started to think about Richmond and its creative climate and was like, why don't we have a film festival here?
Right.
And or at least one that kind of focuses on brown people's stories.
Okay.
And so I pitched it to a friend of mine with the idea of trying to get another organization on board to do it, not for me to do it.
Right.
But the more I thought about it and what I thought would be cool for a film festival, I couldn't think of any organizations that would kind of do it how I was envisioning it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my friend was like, well, why don't you do it? And I was like, I don't know. And I just kind of thought about it and prayed on it. And it was like, okay, well, give it a go. You know, nothing beats a fail but a try.
Right.
So that's kind of how Africana came to be. I feel like Richmond is at a very interesting place in its art scene and just what's happening in the city. But the art scene is emerging very quickly here. But I think that it's important that we keep that art scene as diverse as the demographics in Richmond. And I don't know that I'm necessarily seeing that represented. So this is my contribution to making sure that Richmond maintains its diversity,
okay,
and that it's celebrated by all people.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And tell us more about the showing. This is going to be November 23rd.
Yep, November 23rd at the Bird Theater, 7:30 p.m. That's when the screening will actually start. Doors will open at 7.
Okay.
And afterward, we're having an Afrobeat after party at New York Deli, and that'll go until 2.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And they can find the information on Facebook,
Instagram, Twitter, or at AfrikanaFilmFestival.org. And that is Africana with a K. So AFRIKANA FilmFestival.org.
Okay. We'll talk to you a little more in a little bit, and hopefully we'll have a interview with the producer of the Broadway play and the documentary. So stay tuned for that. We'll listen to some more of Teach You Don't Teach Me Nonsense by Fela Kuti. Thank you. We appreciate you calling us today and bearing with us on our equipment problem, but hopefully we'll make this work.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Stephen Hindel, if I pronounced that correctly?
You did.
The producer of the Broadway play Fela and producer of Finding Fela, the documentary. Is that correct?
No, that's absolutely correct. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for calling again. We just want to talk to you. We're having the documentary presented here in late November, and very thankful for you to calling in. Can you tell us this? How did you get involved with this, or how did you come to discover Fela and want to actually bring this, you know, to the forefront like you're doing?
Well, I, you know, sometime around the year 2000, I was on Amazon cruising around, and I must have bought, you know, some African music because the algorithm came up and said, if you like this, you know, buy this. And the recommendation was a record called The Best Best of Fela Kuti. And I really didn't know who Fela was, and I wasn't familiar with his music or the story. And I decided to buy the record, the CD. And when it came, it just totally blew my mind. I just was overwhelmed by it, and it had extensive liner notes, and I was overwhelmed by the story and what the music was about. And I spent a couple of years listening to more and more music and reading a few books, and decided that it would make an amazing work of performance art of live theater. And I went to try and get the rights to turn his life story and the music into a theater piece, and in the course of which Bill T. Jones and I met and agreed that he would direct and choreograph it. And over the next, I don't know, by 8 years later, we opened off Broadway, and the year after that, we opened on Broadway. during the period when we were creating the show, I could see that, you know, this group of artists led by Bill and the band, which was Antiballas, which is a great international touring Afrobeat band, I could see that, you know, what we were doing was going to just be amazing. And I started having the work, the developmental process captured by a documentary filmmaker named Nara Garber. And Bill was kind enough to wear a microphone. And by the time we opened the show, we had 250 hours of footage of Bill and the artists creating the show from scratch, which is very unusual, really. And then as we were finishing the Broadway run, we were invited to bring the Broadway show to Lagos. And, you know, I wanted that documented. And a mutual friend introduced Alex Gibney and I to each other. And Alex had been a fan of the musical. And Alex agreed that he would direct a documentary about bringing Fela to Nigeria. And I took one of his film crews with me to Lagos. And we were in Lagos for a couple of weeks as the Broadway play performed 8 times at an exhibition hall in Victoria Island, and we launched the whole 2 weeks by performing the show at the family New Africa Shrine in Ikeja. And by the time we left, I had another 250 hours of footage. Wow. Including interviews with the family and a tour of Calicuta and where the shrine was, and interviews with a lot of Nigerians, a lot of people who were important to Fela's story. But we didn't really have a good enough documentary about bringing the show to Lagos. And Alex and I spoke, and when Alex became aware that we had all this footage about the making of the show, we agreed that we'd find all the archival footage we could about Fela. We'd restored, old footage that we could find, and we would try and make a definitive documentary about Fela's life. The family participated extensively in the interviews, and as it went along, we decided to call it Finding Fela, because it's a documentary about Fela's life, but it's also about how the artists in the Broadway show found Fela, how we as a 21st century audience, would find Fela. How do you get your arms around this man, what he did, what he stood for, what his faults were, his weaknesses, but his strengths and achievements. And so it's a, I'm very pleased with the documentary, and I hope the people in Richmond, really, really, really embrace it.
We hope so too. We're trying our best to promote it, and once again, thank you for doing that. About you, how did you get into the production? That wasn't what you were doing originally, were you?
No, and I've done it. I mean, it's hard to say, but I've actually sort of done all of this the last 14 years in my spare time.
Okay.
I'm actually a commodity trader, but I just found the story so inspiring and so important. And of course, the music is throbbing and totally absorbing and sensual, sexual. It's the music, I think, our life force. And the film is got tons and tons of music in it. It's beautifully shot. It goes like butter. I think it's a very embracing film. And it's a really important story that people don't know about. And I think that's what inspired me to, to spend my time this way. It just seemed to me the story about, what one creative person could do, what he could stand for, what is commitment at this point in time for all of us. What are we prepared to die for? What are we prepared to give ourselves to? that it's so important that, you know, we'll pay the price to, you know, to be committed to it. And I think that, you know, to me, that's ultimately, you know, what Fela's legacy is. And, you know, when I started this, you know, and we opened off Broadway, nobody, very few people knew who Fela was. I think now few people know who Fela is. And seeing this movie is a chance to, you know, to present it in front of people and let them ask questions and, you know, and sort of see how they react.
Right. Yeah. About knowing who he is, I understand that because on my radio show, I play a lot of his music. And I realize when I go out and talk to people who, like, don't listen to a lot of music I listen to, like when I talk to my friends about Fela, you know, they all know what I'm talking about. When I talk to other people, they have absolutely no clue. And I don't know, maybe because I just listen to so many different types of music, it seems weird that no one's heard of him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he stayed in Nigeria. He refused to leave. And here's this, you know, I mean, he was as great a musician as existed in my lifetime. You know, Paul McCartney, all the musicians in the world understood that this guy was, you know, a giant. But he wouldn't leave because he was so committed to speaking out against indignity, and that his music, you know, wasn't made for radio play. So, you know, a lot of people never found out who he was because, you know, he stayed in his home country. I don't know. Did you ever see the play? Have you seen the film?
I've seen parts of it. I have not seen the whole thing yet, and but I definitely will catch the rest of it. But what you were saying about radio, yeah, that was probably a big problem with him in the U.S. You know, here on Top 40 radio, you know, the 3-minute song, 3.5-minute song is about as long as you're going to get. And his tunes are, you know, clocking in anywhere from 6 to a half hour.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, there are very few that are 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I really urge your listeners to come see the film.
Yeah.
There's something about seeing it on the big screen and seeing it with other people. It's a community experience, and I think people, you know, my experience, and I've seen the film with audiences maybe 20 times, is the audience's mind is blown, and there's always one question: how come I never heard about this before?
Right.
How come I didn't know who this guy was? I never even heard of this guy. How can I be so unaware of a story like this?
Yeah, well, that's another question I ask. I'm the internet. It makes it much easier to find these things. I find myself going on these, like, what I call stream of consciousness music searches. I'm just bouncing from one thing to another and discovering things. And I'm not the type to, like, just ignore it because, well, this doesn't sound like something I've been listening to all my life. I want to hear something different. But not everybody is like that, and you're surprised, you know, once you get it out there in front of them, how much they'll like it. So hopefully that will be the case with this documentary.
Well, I hope so, because, you know, I think one of the great, to me, one of the great issues, or one of the, you know, Americans are very uncurious.
Yeah.
Americans, you know, are very unwilling to venture out beyond their comfort zone and what they know. And I think, you know, that's actually a problem because, you know, we have the greatest organizational process. We have the greatest concentration of wealth. We have an excellent educational system. But if we're not willing to, you know, open our minds and look at new things and explore outside of our borders and open our sensibilities to stories that take place in other countries at different times and involving different kinds of issues, we're missing out, and it's not clear that, you know, our country is the better for being so close-minded.
Okay. Well, I think, was there anything you want to ask her?
No, I'm just really excited to bring the film here to Richmond. I thank you for your curiosity, Mr. Hendel, in bringing it to the forefront, bringing Fela's story outward. And while his story took place in the 70s and 80s, I think that there are a lot of ethics and morals and principles that can be applied to today that people can walk away with and relate to. So I can really appreciate you taking the time to support this initiative. So thanks for that.
I appreciate it. Nothing gives me greater pleasure than to have audiences, you know, sort of discover the material. So I appreciate what you're doing, and if you've been out there playing his music and, you know, and seeing how hard it is to, you know, broaden the circle of awareness, let me say we're sort of in the same struggle, and I appreciate, you know, everything you're doing, and thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Indeed. Well, thank you.
Okay. You can email me and let me know how everyone likes the show.
All right.
Okay. All right.
We will do that. Thank you very much, and thank you for your time. And once again, thank you for bringing that to us.
Very good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Stephen Hindle, and executive producer of the Broadway play Fela and the documentary Finding Fela, which will appear here November 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Bird Theater. And how many pair of tickets can we give away today for that?
We can give away a few pair.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
So we'll say three, maybe?
Three pair.
Okay. All right. Give us a call when the music starts again. You want to get started after this? Or? Okay. After we finish talking. And the number is 649-9737, 804-649-9737 for a pair of tickets to see Finding Fela on November 23rd after we finish talking. And anything else you want to say?
No, just that I'm just to kind of piggyback off of what Stephen Hindle was saying. There's certainly a community of people that are familiar with Fela, but I find that there's also a really large group of people who aren't familiar with him. But I think that his story is dynamic and it's interesting, and I think that no matter what your background, it's something there that people can relate to. And he's someone that people should know about. So I hope that people come out and support the story.
Okay, well, thank you again. And appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having
and,
me.
And once again, where can we find out information?
You can find out information on Facebook at Africana Film Festival. Also on Twitter and Instagram at Africana Film RVA. And you can always check out our website that has links to all of our social media at AfrikanaFilmFestival.org. And that's AFRIKANA FilmFestival.org.
Okay, thank you again, Angela Moon. And I'll try to get some of those websites up on our blog at WRIR. You can go to WRIR. I'm way behind on the blog. They're putting up the tracks, but usually you can see our track list by going to WRIR.org. Click Read More under the Motherland Influence to see what we've been playing, and I'll try to get caught up on that. A little bit more music, and then Dowdy will take over for the rest of this half hour. All right. We've given away the tickets. Actually, more than we said we would. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. The tickets are gone, but we do have some more information for you.
Yes. In honor of Fela Kuti's 76th birthday, Africana is offering the next 76 people to purchase tickets. The tickets 2-for-1. You can go to our website and it'll take you to the link and you can purchase your 2-for-1 tickets there.
And what's that website?
Again, that's AfrikanaFilmFestival.org. AfrikanaFilmFestival.org. FilmFestival.org.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Support for WRIR comes from Style Weekly, Richmond's alternative weekly for news, arts, culture, and opinion. This week's edition is now on newsstands, and it's styleweekly.com. Let's hear some more Afrobeat, but this time from somebody else. Let's put the CD down over here. Let's hear something from Lekan Babalolof, also from Nigeria, from the CD Afrobeat Revolution, the Rough Guide to Afrobeat Revolution. And then we'll take it from there. Thanks for everybody who called in and got tickets to see the program.
Thank you.
That last track was Stan Tahorn and the Chink System from Benin from the CD Chink Attack, the song In Talks. Before that, believe it or not, Orchestra Kolokoko du Zaire, Congolese band, from self-titled Son Africa LP that came out years and years and years ago. We heard the song called Sana Mama. We started off the set with Lekan Babalola from Nigeria from the CD compilation The Rough Guide to Afrobeat Revolution on the World Music Network label. We heard the song called Kabiyoi. And you are listening to WRIR-LP 97.3 FM Richmond. My name is Dowdy. I'm here with Greybeard every week, bringing you 2 hours of African, Latin, and Caribbean sounds. And support for WRIR comes from BK Music Now, open in the Stratford Hills Shopping Center on Forest Hill Avenue. BK offers a large selection of new and used vinyl and CDs, including jazz, rock, and R&B, country, folk, and more. On Facebook and the web at bkmusiconline.com. And Job Corps is a government-sponsored program that helps young people ages 16 to 24 learn a career, earn a high school diploma or GED, and find and keep a good job. For eligible young people, Job Corps provides the all-around skills needed to succeed in career and in life. In addition to education and career skills, Job Corps offers cash allowances, medical and dental care, meals, housing, college opportunities, and job placement after you graduate from the program, all at no cost to you. You can learn more at jobcorps.government or call 804-340-5540 to attend a local information center. And Greybeard, what do you got for us, my friend?